Good morning, my friends. Welcome to Advent Hope, your weekly presentation on biblical truth, especially as it applies to these last days. I'm the pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Of course, you're always welcome to come there out on Goshen Road at 9:30 on Saturday morning. And we have a reason why we observe the Seventh-day Sabbath. And if you want to find out why, come on out and find out. Now, we're working to prepare a symposium on that coming up in the not-too-distant future, where a group of us sit and have a roundtable talk, and we're going to talk about that particular topic. Now, there's a rule of thumb when it comes to talking about truth. If everybody's doing it, there's always a chance that it's wrong. And I know everybody knee-jerks, and, well, Sunday's the right day to go to church. Well, we want to find out what the Bible actually says about it. And one problem in our culture today is so many people are rather ignorant of what the Bible says. I was reading a book by my favorite comedian, Tim Allen. You know, we've been watching the series, the old series Home Improvement, episode after episode, and laughing ourselves into stitches. Well, I liked it so much that I came across an autobiography that he did of himself. And as I was reading this, especially towards the end, he gets into his spiritual frame of mind, his way of thinking. Now, last I heard, he does attend a church. Last I heard that he does have a semblance, a kind of a sense that there is a God out there. But he has many confused ideas about God. And the way I thought of it is the way that many people, including many, many church people who go to church faithfully, but their theology is a bunch of concepts that kind of bounce around in their heads and have no real core meaning, nothing that really brings them together. There's no cohesion, no coherence. They have confused pictures of who God is, what his will is for us, what does the Bible say about the end times, what does the Bible say about the variety of topics that it covers. In other words, we are not very theologically astute these days. And you know, I mentioned Tim Allen, but he's kind of descriptive of the age in which we live today. We live in a day of biblical ignorance. We live in a time when people don't read their Bibles. They may go to church as some kind of an obligation, but they don't really read their Bibles, and they don't really understand what the Bible is about and why it was given to us and what its essential teachings are, especially as we've come into these last days of Earth's history. Now, I've gone on record, and I stand by this. 2024, I've announced this in my churches. I've announced it over Facebook, over the air. I believe 2024 is going to be unlike any year that we have ever lived through. And I'll go on record and say that. I'm going out on a limb because I'm not predicting the second coming of Jesus this year. I'm not predicting, you know, anything that the Bible doesn't entitle me to predict based upon its truths and teachings. But I am saying this is going to be a very interesting year. Now, why do I say that? I try to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world today. I try to understand what's happening in the various countries. I know that we just seem to be like a balloon that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, getting ready to burst. You know, you remember being a child and you're picking up a balloon and you're blowing it and blowing it till it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then boom, right in your face because you filled it with too much air. Well, history tends to work that way. As circumstances continue to build and build and build, and countries become more and more angry with one another, and the passions of humanity are aroused more and more strongly. Well, what ultimately happens, and you can use just about any scenario of war to describe this, Civil War, World War I, countries angry with one another, countries competing with one another, who's going to have the biggest army, the biggest navy, all of these weapons of war, who's going to have the biggest nuclear weapons, as the situation continues to expand bigger and bigger and bigger, eventually it explodes. Boom. And the world is at war. Well, friend of mine, I don't like to inspire fear within anybody, but I do like to sound the alarm on occasion, or I feel the need to sound the alarm. Let's put it that way. The prophetic word, the Holy Bible, is a book full of warning as well as a book full of hope. And the warning is that I share with you today is that we are about to explode as a world, as countries are angry, as the buildup of the passions of the dictators and the various agencies in the country, organizations and political institutes. Well, We could approach this in a whole lot of ways. I could talk about the political situation in our country. And those of you who watch the news at all know that our politics is a mess, that things are just increasingly dangerous. It would not surprise me if we wound up in a state of civil war before this year is over, because it's the election year and because of all of the animosities between the parties. And I've come to a conclusion. Given the situation in the world, there's no president that's going to save us from the dire situation that lays before us. I don't care if you vote for Biden, you vote for Trump, vote for whoever you want to. But the situation in the world has gotten so dangerous this particular year that I predict before this year is over, the situation is going to be more dire than many of us can ever imagine. Okay, I talk about the political scene. I talk about the moral meltdown in our country, the so-called woke ideology, where everything is accepted as long as we don't judge, as long as we allow, you know, the things that the Bible does not consider normal, as long as we have gotten further and further away from our Christianized roots here in America. Now, what do I mean by this? We are not a theocracy. We're not a Christian theocracy any more than we're a Muslim theocracy, a Buddhist theocracy. What we are is a nation that was founded on basic Christian principles. Now, sometimes when I mention this, people will kind of scoff. No, you're trying to tear down the separation of church and state. You know, you're trying to make us into a theocracy. You're trying to, you know, only let religious people, Christian people, devout Christian people govern in our country. Well, that's not what I'm talking about and not what I want to aspire to. What I am suggesting is that we are a Christian that was founded upon, we are a nation that was founded upon Christian principles. And that's why every time we've had a president take the oath of office, he raises his right hand to take his oath. And where is his left hand? It's on the Holy Bible. Because there's still this intrinsic belief that the Bible lays out the framework of how we are to govern in our nation. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you'll see evidence of our Christian founding all over the place. Did you know that at the very top of the Washington Monument, the pyramid that was laid upon the top has the words Deus Laus, and it means praise be to God, praise be to God. And the biblical teachings which guided, I wouldn't say governed, but guided the founding fathers, were what established us as a nation, that we still need to be based upon fair principles, principles of justice and fairness, principles of rightness and wrongness in our behavior. And the further we have gotten away from those principles, and we have gotten further and further away, thanks to the media, thanks to Hollywood, thanks to all of the aberrant voices out there that are proclaiming that what was considered wrong for so many centuries is now considered acceptable, and we should laud these habits and practices. The further we get away from biblical principles, the more dire our situation becomes here in the United States. Moral meltdown, spiritual chaos. Most people, if you ask them if they believe in God, they'll say, yeah, I believe in the big man upstairs. I believe in a higher power. I believe in this and that, you know. But their concepts, like I mentioned about Tim Allen, who in my mind is kind of symbolic of many, many people's way of approaching God. They don't have any clue about who God is, how he acts, what is our obligation to him, our accountability to him, because they don't read the Bible. They don't understand what the Bible has to say for these last days. And it's vital to us, my friend, that we learn to become students of the Bible, not just students of your preacher. You know, I talk to people, excuse me, they regularly go to the various churches, and it's like they don't know Genesis from Revelation. They listen to the preacher. Church is a fellowship time. We have good fellowship, good meals. Our friends go there. We like to joke around. We like to kind of soothe our conscience by listening to a good sermon, good entertaining preacher. And then we go about our business, simply taking the word of the preacher. And I'm not against preachers. I'm not against preachers at all, especially as they preach the word of God. But I do have a concern when we put too much reliance upon the preacher and not upon our own understanding of God's will, our own interface with God, communication, as we read the Holy Scriptures. Now, I'm getting ready to preach a message called Watchmen Blow That Trumpet, and I want to share the essence of this message because this kind of bears in with what I'm saying. I want to remind you, of course, Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock, there out on Goshen Road is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, our Celebrate Recovery program, where many people have come over the years and been blessed and benefited. You're invited to come on out, even if you don't have a particular addiction that you're battling. But it's kind of the next step after the breaking chains, after you've gotten your life more or less straight again, and it's to help you maintain that straightness in your life. It's to help you to stay off the drugs, stay off the alcohol, whatever's been you've been abusing that's caused problems in your life and in the problems of your family. Just come on out 6 o'clock Thursday evening. Find out what it's about. I think that you'll have a good time there, and I think that you'll delight in getting to know us a little bit. So Celebrate Recovery, 6 o'clock at the Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Goshen Road. I want to read you something from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was one of the great prophets of God. He was contemporary with Daniel. He was one who was part of those who had been taken into captivity in Babylon. But before that happened, he wrote this message, a message from God that he communicated, that he dispersed to the Israelite watchmen. And here's what he said, Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. Watchmen, blow that trumpet, God is saying. When you see disaster coming, when you see the armies coming, when you see the situation changing drastically into one of a dangerous, of danger and dire circumstances. If the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood will be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. I'm going to go ahead and just keep reading for a few more verses. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, God says, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. You shall not speak. You did not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood, listen to this, his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. This is kind of a message to the local pastors out there. I know there's some of you that listen to this program. But it's also to all of us who, as Christian believers, believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, that the Bible has something vital to say to us in these last days of Earth's history, and that we need to take heed to what the Bible says to prepare our own lives, the lives of our loved ones, but also to blow that trumpet and alarm the world as to what's going on in the world and how we need to be prepared and we need to be ready. Now, I focused on the year 2024. Okay, if nothing unusual happens in 2024, you can be assured it's still going to happen soon. I look at the world. I keep my fingers on the pulse of what's going on and throughout humanity. I see the crises taking place in countries like China and Russia and, of course, Ukraine and North Korea, where they are huffing and puffing and blowing their trumpets that they're going to invade the United States. I hear warning after warning after warning that says to me, we are living in very interesting times. Now, right now, as I speak today, there are probably a lot more people interested in who's going to win the Super Bowl Sunday than there are interested in this message. Why? Because it's so much easier to inebriate ourselves with the excitements and entertainments of this world. And, oh, they're there. I may watch the Super Bowl. Actually, I may not watch it, but I'll explain that in a moment. But it's so much more fun to be caught up in media, to be caught up in sports, to be caught up in what Hollywood has to offer, to be caught up in the political situation or the bantering, the insults, the criticism, flying back and forth. You know, who's going to be a better president, Biden or Trump? You know, so much more interesting and fun to be caught up in those conversations and to be listening in on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and all these things. What does this commentator, what do the talking heads have to say? You know, so much more fun and interesting to be listening to these than it could possibly be to read the Bible, to have our finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world and be ready and to be aware so that when the end comes, we can stand strong with our Lord who calls us. Well, I mentioned the Super Bowl. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it this year. It's like a Super Bowl that I really don't care who wins. And I'm kind of a fan of football. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not totally opposed to all forms of entertainment. Like I say, I like to watch the old Home Improvement episodes. I still find them hilarious. But the point that I'm making here is, do we as Christians have enough faith in God's inspired word? Do we study it? Do we read it? That we get this sense of that God is issuing a warning to us to wake up, to be prepared, because soon these things are going to happen. And the question is not if they're going to happen. The question is when they're going to happen. And as I look at the world, as I put my finger on the pulse of where we are in the course of history, and I realize that the stakes are so much higher today than they've ever been in Earth's history, I have come to the conclusion this could be the year when these things especially begin to break out. We could be in a civil war before the year is over. We could be invaded, attacked by nuclear weapons. We could be at war with Iran or maybe Russia or North Korea before this year is over. I mean, if you don't read this and if you don't believe what I'm saying here, maybe you haven't been looking closely enough at the headlines and the articles in the headlines. It's like, again, that metaphor of a balloon that keeps blowing up bigger and bigger and bigger. And as the tensions continue to mount on the sides of the balloon, eventually it explodes, it blows up. Well, I think this world is on the edge of exploding, of blowing up. And when it happens, the question is, are we going to be shocked? Are we going to, oh no, what do I do now? Or have we been spiritually preparing, knowing that God always takes care of his own? Now I'm going to step on some toes here. Preachers who are listening, we're the watchmen. You who do study the Bible and present it to your congregations, people in the congregations that teach your Sunday school classes, teachers of our children. Now, we're not to be going around like alarmists saying the sky is falling. We're not Chicken Little. The sky is falling. We're not to unduly create anxiety and fear, but we are still to sound the message of warning. Danger is coming. That was the work of the watchman on the tower. In ancient times, a city of any particular size that was surrounded by a wall, and at different stages of this wall, they would have a tower. And in these towers, watching over them by night, would be the watchman. Their task, they were given a trumpet, and their task, if they saw the enemy approaching, if they saw danger imminent to them, they were to blow those trumpets to warn the people in the city and the farmers living outside the city. It's time to get inside the safety of the walls. It's time to find protection. The enemy is at hand. The enemy is approaching. And if we don't heed the sound of the trumpet, we choose to disbelieve it. We choose to ignore it. We choose to postpone our response. Then the danger becomes very imminent and real, and you become captive, or you become slaughtered by the approaching enemy. And God uses this metaphor about the watchman on the tower. And that, I believe, is one of the primary tasks of our pastors today. Yes, we need to preach about Jesus and his divinity. Yes, we need to preach about being better people. Yes, we need to preach about being accountable to God. Yes, we need to preach about being better parents and better church members and more responsibility to each other. Yes, we need to preach about a lot of things. But it just occurs to me in this day and age, we need to be preaching about the nearness of the second coming of Jesus and pointing out the things that are going on in the world. Well, you say, well, I can't preach on this. You know, my congregation, they'll stop coming to church. They'll stop giving financial support. They'll go to some other church where the preacher's more entertaining and just makes me chuckle and likes to tell jokes. Well, I'm not opposed to being entertaining in preaching. But do we live in a time of our history we need to sound the alarm, we need to blow the trumpet? And if we blow the trumpet and the people won't listen, then as Ezekiel 33 says, the blood is on their head, but not on your head. If I fail to blow the trumpet, I see imminent danger approaching. I see the forces of hell attacking God's people. And I see these things happening, and I haven't prepared the people for it. Then their blood is on my head. They'll be destroyed, but I will face the consequences. I will be brought before the judgment throne of God for failing to blow the trumpet. Watchmen, blow that trumpet. Now, I'm going to get into something that's really going to step on some toes, because I know it goes contrary to what's being commonly taught in our churches around here. There's a common teaching, and it's based on some teachings that have come into play just in the last couple of centuries, that the Church of Jesus Christ, the true Christians, those who have been born again, will not have to face the tribulation. They've made a commitment to the Lord. They're genuine Christian, you know, not questioning their Christianity. But they will be taken up to heaven before all this stuff happens, the secret rapture, we call it, or before the tribulation happens, they're taken up into heaven. I think, and I believe this very strongly, that is a misreading of what Jesus said and what the apostles wrote in the New Testament. The Bible says in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he comes in the clouds, every eye will see him." The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "The Lord himself will descend with a shout, with a trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will be raised first, and then we who are alive will be caught up together to meet them in the air." There is no place in the Bible for the concept, and I'll entertain any challenges, any questions, Advent Hope, P.O. Box 315, Beaver Dam, send them in. But there's no place in the Bible that teaches that God's people, his true church, will not endure a certain amount of tribulation. How much? I'm not going to go into that. But the fact of the matter is that God's people will endure a certain degree of tribulation. It's to test us. It's to test the resolve that we have. How true are we to the faith in Jesus Christ? I think of that young lady back in Columbine when two students broke in with guns and were shooting up the place, and they pointed the gun at the head of this young lady and asked her, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And she said, "Yes," and they shot her and killed her on the spot. What would you do if your faith was tested to that degree? Now, it's one thing to come to our comfortable churches and enjoy the fellowship and camaraderie of our friends, to listen to a preacher that preaches a good, entertaining sermon, maybe makes us feel a little bit guilty and wants us to be better people, more loving, more kind people. It's another thing to have your faith put on trial so that it could actually lead to death if you declare and proclaim the name of Jesus. And by the way, many people around the world, especially in countries like Africa and India and Pakistan, their Christians are facing that very persecution today. And yet we here in America, we have softened it up so much that we just believe we're going to be taken off this earth. We won't have to face persecution. We won't have to face putting our lives on the limb for Jesus. Excuse me. He's not going to allow that to happen. The church is going to be raptured up, and then the tribulation is going to happen. Well, I know the verses where that comes from, and I think that that's a gross misreading. And there are some authors that paint that very clearly, how that is a gross misreading of God's intent and purpose. But the fact of the matter is, when it happens, it's not a question of if, but when. When it happens, there's going to be a lot of people blindsided when these things happen. When, you know, the weather turns totally against us, you know, you see patterns in the weather, and, you know, call it global warming, call it cyclical, call it whatever you want to. But don't you see what's happening? How the weather patterns have changed, how earthquakes are smiting particular places in the world, how nations who are armed with nuclear weapons are boasting that they're getting ready to attack the United States, and they're presenting it to their own people as the United States getting ready to attack us. You know, don't you see what's happening? How the world just seems to be on a collision course with catastrophe? Well, I hope that you do. And I hope that it leads you to study the Word of God more closely and to see more clearly what's happening in the world, so that we become, as his church, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a layperson, we take the shoulder, the burden of responsibility upon ourselves to be the watchman that blow that trumpet, to let the world know Jesus is coming. I was talking to a lady the other day that she says, and she goes to church, you know, each Sunday she goes to church, like many of my friends, you know, okay, great, she goes to church. And she says she doesn't want to hear from these people that keep talking about the second coming of Jesus. You know, to her that's just kind of cult language. That's just kind of that's kind of the creepiness of people that want to talk about the second coming of Jesus. Well, my friend, do you know that every book of the New Testament alludes to the second coming of Jesus? Again, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe what Jesus said about his second coming? Every book of the New Testament and many places in the Old Testament allude to it, the second coming of Jesus. Our church creeds, the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creeds, they allude to the second coming of Jesus. So churches, virtually every church believes in the second coming of Jesus. You just don't hear it preached very often anymore. You hear them preaching about a lot of good things, a lot of helpful things, be a better person, be a better Christian. But the second coming of Jesus is that event in our near future which enlightens our path, which gives us a reason for living. It's called the blessed hope of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's called the blessed hope for a reason. It's because it's that event that rescues us from the earth as the earth is on a collision course with catastrophe. So we need to understand clearly what the second coming of Jesus is about. We need to understand more clearly that it's not an escape so that Christians don't have to go through tribulation. And we'll spend some time talking in more detail about that, because I know probably some of you Christians are gnashing your teeth right now. You know, well, we're going to be taken off the earth before the tribulation. No, you're not. Okay, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, we'll talk about that in another time. But the fact of the matter is, we don't want to be inebriated by events going on, by entertainment, by sports, by Hollywood, all these things. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. Jesus says, watch and pray, for these things will come upon you unexpectedly. Be aware. Be spirit-filled. Be following Jesus, be following his counsel, following his wisdom. Have him truly be Lord and master of your life. Well, that's the only safe approach we have. But as watchmen on the tower, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a layperson, you and I have a responsibility to proclaim this message to the world at large. Even if it's just here in Ohio County, we have a responsibility, a blessed burden, really, to share this with others. They too can experience the love of Jesus, and they too can be ready and delighted with the truth of his second coming. So, watchmen, blow that trumpet. That's a calling, that's a responsibility for which we will be held accountable to if we fail to blow the trumpet. You know, there are so many people who are unsaved today, so many people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. So many people who think they have a relationship with Jesus, but like someone described a flowing river one time, it's a mile wide and only an inch deep. A mile wide in the sense that I know just enough about religion to make me feel a little bit guilty, so that I should go to church, I should be with my buddies at church, talk about events, talk about the Super Bowl, you know. But it's shallow, it's not deep, because they fail to take advantage of the opportunity to study God's word for themselves, to deepen their knowledge. The Bible talks in the book of Amos about a time men will be searching. There will be a famine in the land. People going far and wide searching, not for food, not for water, but searching to hear the word of the Lord. But it's too late, because they've not listened to it while they had the opportunity. So I encourage you, my friends, be a student of the Bible. Listen to your preachers, especially as they preach from the Bible. But at the same time, don't just rely on the preachers, as wonderful as their messages may be. But learn to study the Bible on your own. Learn to have that interfaith relationship with Jesus. that is mediated through the study of his words. So that's my encouragement for you. That's my message for you. Be a watchman on the tower. Be informed, be enlightened, be filled with the Spirit. Walk with Jesus. Thanks for listening to today's message. Be with you next time. God bless you.